With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It is Wednesday, which means it's time for the front three with me, Adam Bowe, with the one and only Lawrence McKenna.
Good evening.
And of course, Dave O'Brien.
Hello, hello, hello.
Guys, Portugal are through to the Euro 2016 final. They ended Wales fairy tale tonight, winning 2-0. Me and Dave are obviously covering it on TFR Live tonight. Dave, what did you make of the game?
It was good. A very, very good game. I quite enjoyed it. You know, it was getting beaten by people. People were beating the game for being rubbish, but I think tactically it was very interesting. It was sort of a Serie A game from the last few years where it was a 4-4-2 diamond up against a 3-5-2 with Wales. But the big problem with Wales, you know, I mentioned it on the preview before, is playing that back three instead of playing a back four. You know, sometimes if you don't have the correct pieces to play a back three, don't play it. Go back to a back four. People know how to play that a bit better. You know, with James Collins defending a wide area, that is always going to go a little bit wrong from time to time. And you can kind of see that with the shape, with the sort of second goal where, you know, naturally none of the back three came out to meet Cristiano Ronaldo on that shot and it went in. But I thought it was a really interesting game. Ronaldo, though, the main man, boy, you know, first half he had 2 shots on goal. The second half he had 7. Really took the game to the Welsh. But it was good to see him come to the ball. It was something that we mentioned on the TFR Live event, that he needed to be on the ball a lot more. One, it was his teammates' responsibility to get him on the ball, but also it was his responsibility to come and get the ball. And his movement was a lot better in the second half. He was picking up the ball in better areas. But I do feel really sorry for Gareth Bale. He was awesome in the first 30 minutes of the game. Did very well to get down the flanks, both the left-hand side and the right-hand side of the lane. Put some pretty good balls across. Again, Aaron Ramsey could have finished those off. You know, Andy King is a good player, a functional player, but he doesn't have that composure that Aaron Ramsey has. You know, if Aaron Ramsey was playing today, would have been a different game. But also with Ben Davis, I think that was a massive, massive miss. But credit to Portugal. They've been a very sticky team, you'd say. They play like 4 central midfielders and they've just been very hard to break down. And again, if they come up against the Germany team in the final, they've got all, you know, they've got enough chance to win that game if they can keep the work rate in midfield with those 4 central midfielders sort of shuttling to left to right, forcing Germany out wide, and then blocking it off into the middle when in the final third. You know, they could go on to win the tournament. An incredible achievement for a team that's only won one game in 90 minutes.
An incredible achievement, of course, for Wales as well, Lawrence, to get to the semi-final in the first place. Tonight, you know, they did struggle to create and Gareth Bale sort of faded from the game. But at the same time, they finished top of their group, which no one expected. They beat Northern Ireland and then they beat Belgium, one of the favourites for the tournament. So although, as I said, the fairy tale's over, it was an incredible achievement to get to this stage.
I don't even know if the fairy tale's done for them at this point. I mean, obviously, tournament-wise it is, but I think there was some extremely emotional people there talking about, you know, the journey that this squad's been on and together, what Chris Coleman's done with, you know, what most people were worried about after the things that happened with Gary Speed and the sadness around that. And I think that was something that really drove this squad forward. So there's a really bittersweet feeling to it that they've achieved a lot and under a man who continued and built upon another guy's initial work. And then at the same time, obviously they'll have felt that this was maybe their one chance of the time to be able to actually win the competition. And then when that didn't happen in the end, you know, obviously there's despair. But I think Wales are incredibly excited to maybe feel that they're, you know, that this was even a possibility in the first place. But I guess that's the problem for them, is how much further can they go in another tournament? You know, it's difficult to really top that sort of thing.
Yeah, this is their first major international tournament at all. And to get to the semi-finals is just, you know, it's almost surreal.
I think it is a bit surreal for some of those guys. I think it's definitely surreal for a lot of the fans. I think a lot of people revert to cliche when it gets to that point. But I think, you know, because they kind of go down the route of, well, you know, we never thought we'd get here, etc. And it's, oh, that's all true. And, that, you know, obviously there's no resentment for that. But it's, you know, I think a lot of people also, you know, they felt that the real story was somewhere else in this. And actually what they found was that, you know, the real story, which was in Gary Speed and what he left behind, I think achieved much more than anyone else had expected they probably could.
And what of Ronaldo, Dave? I mean, you mentioned him there. He sort of has had somewhat of an indifferent tournament so far. Obviously, on the TFR live stream, I was sort of comparing him with Messi, who just 3 weeks ago was having an incredible Copa America. People were sort of slating Ronaldo for being so ineffectual in the group stages. The tables have turned now. Messi has got a suspended sentence for tax evasion today, and Ronaldo sort of inspired his team to the final of Euro 2016.
Well, I think first with Messi, obviously, again, it's showing that potentially sports stars are above the law, which is quite sad in its own right. But let's talk about the positives. That's Cristiano Ronaldo. Seems to love the European Championships. No player scored more goals at the final in history, obviously tying with Platini's great record of scoring 9 goals at the final. He's been directly involved in 14 goals at the Euros since 2004. That is a whopping 6 more than any other player. Fabregas and Schweinsteiger are joint second on 8 goals plus assists. But he really showed up today in the big game. He's had a very poor tournament. Turned up against Hungary, then has been missing chances. There's been a few balls that have come over his left shoulder and he's miskicked it. But today he was very, very good. And he turned up in that second half and really changed the game. And it was sort of the Ronaldo of old, the Ronaldo that was making things happen. Not the Real Madrid Ronaldo that's scoring their tap-ins, that's becoming this goal scorer. It was the Ronaldo that was driving at people, that was making, that was changing the momentum of the game and really forcing Wales into, you know, making those defensive decisions. Again, Joe Allen picking up that booking in the first half very early on was a bit silly and potentially cost Wales that solidity in front of the back four, knowing him being on a yellow card, no, potentially he'll be pulling out of tackles. Mentally, that's a big, big thing. So, yeah, again, Ronaldo really turned up today.
Talk of him winning the Ballon d'Or already, Dave, if you can inspire them to the championship itself, we'll have to wait and see. Now, you think Germany are going through. It feels like, though, they won't want to face, especially Ronaldo, the form he's on. He's coming to form at the right time, it feels like.
It does, yeah. But then if you look at the German back two, the back four, they've played very well in this tournament as a unit. And Sami Khedira is going to be a big miss, actually, because he's been breaking up the play quite nice next to Toni Kroos, who's been dictating. So it will be Schweinsteiger, Kroos for tomorrow's game. That's been reported in the press. Again, they're just going to have to deal with Ronaldo, but I do think that midfield diamond is going to cause Germany a bit of problem playing through the middle. So I think Germany have got to go with two natural wide players in Julian Draxler and Leroy Sané, get Thomas Müller up front and look to go on the outside of the Portuguese fullbacks. That's where you can isolate them. If they can manage to get past the diamond, so break the diamond and get a 2v1 on those fullbacks, that's where Germany are going to come up. You saw that great inside run from Jonas Hector to create the goal against Italy. That was brilliant. You know, that's something that Pep Guardiola works a lot with his players, is that inside run instead of a fullback overlapping, a fullback underlapping. Tactically very, very interesting. If Jonas Hector can get on that, you know, the underlap with someone like Julian Draxler stretching out on that left-hand side, that's what Germany need to do. They need to get the ball wide. They need to get the ball wide quickly. And then Thomas Müller's movement in there and potentially one of the central midfielders, probably Bastian Schweinsteiger, joining him in the penalty area, because you'd imagine Mesut to be sitting off. Or even, you know, if the ball's down the right-hand side with Leroy Sané, Julian Draxler getting on the back post, that's going to be key. If Germany go with a false nine, if they go with Mario Götze, that'll be a big, big mistake. Because he was very, very poor. Germany were poor when he was playing in that position. And you'd see France, who will defend in a very, very low block with Paul Pogba in between covering that defence. That space is going to be negated. So Mesut's going to find it difficult to find space. And if there's another player in there, another German in that space, too much. And I think France could nick it on the counter-attack. You know, we saw Paul Pogba's directness with his passing straight to Olivier Giroud, to Griezmann. That will be the route to goal for France.
I feel like France, well, Ronaldo himself would rather play France, surely, Lawrence. They look a little bit shaky at the back.
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously, so it would be. They're vulnerable in the perfect position for him to run into, essentially, which is between the centre-back and the full-back. And obviously, their full-backs, maybe the experience of someone like Patrice Evra would take Ronaldo off one side of the pitch. I think that would be their only issue there. And obviously, you know, they've got midfielders who have got a lot of energy. I see what you mean. Basically, he could run at the vulnerable part between the centre back and the full back, and attack that area. And also, but then I wonder, if he actually wants to get a shot off on goal, would he be better off against a team like Germany? It depends on who Germany has fit for the final, and how, like Dave says, how they set up midfield wise. Can Khedira get back in there? Someone like that.
Remains to be seen then, guys. Portugal obviously through to the final. We'll see tomorrow night if Germany or France get through. Let's move
that
on.
That is exciting,
the...
though, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. I'm hoping France go through, personally, because I think it'd be very exciting to see the host nation there up against Portugal, against Ronaldo, who's all of a sudden come into form. I think that'd be very exciting. Mm-hmm. Some other big news today, though, Lawrence.
Massive.
First off.
What was it?
Lionel Messi.
Yeah.
Now, if you've been living under a rock, you might not have heard this, but Lionel Messi has been handed a 21-month prison sentence for tax fraud. He's not actually going to serve time, though. That's right. The key thing to
you
remember.
You did have that word suspended.
Yes. I prefer to, add the suspended, say he's got a prison sentence, then go, hang on, it's not actually happening. So apparently in the Spanish system, if you get under 2 years, it means you don't actually have to serve the sentence. As you say, it's suspended.
Which is ridiculous.
It's on probation, which is a kind of a strange loophole. So the court in Catalonia found that Messi evaded tax on image rights with more than 4 million euros owed in back payments. But as I said, because the court sentence was less than 2 years and neither Messi has a criminal record, him or his father, neither will be sent to prison. Now, a lot of uproar over this, Lawrence, also considering today Oscar Pistorius got what some would call a lenient sentence. I mean, what are your views on this? Because essentially, that is the system.
Well, I mean, yeah, that is the system, yeah.
I'm not saying it's right, but people are sort of saying, if you're rich and famous, you can get away with anything. You can get away with murder, you can get away with tax evasion, it doesn't matter.
That's a tricky one, isn't it? It's hardly O.J. Simpson. Well, one of these cases is hardly O.J. Simpson. One is death of a person and the other one is tax evasion. And I think tax is an incredibly complicated law, but also looks like a fairly straightforward thing. I think people in the public eye have an incredibly difficult time coping with those sort of things. I do think Pistorius is in a very unique position, but that definitely doesn't figure what he does. I also think it's sort of like a lot of people from the outside look at this case as a form of justice. They speak of it from justice's side. I actually just think sometimes it's about protecting society. And I often just wonder, are people better off without these kind of people around, essentially? It's also, I guess there's just so many different ways you can look at it. So many different moral standpoints you could take. You have to treat the two separately. Obviously, one is tax and one is, literally someone's dead because of that. So I think it's probably best to separate the two. I do think celebrities are in a unique position, the amount of pressure they find themselves under socially as heroes, people who are built up. I do think there's something to be said for that. Don't think it forgives any laws that they break. But I also think image rights and those sort of things are something that a lot of people are struggling to make laws for. However, I think that probably just doesn't forgive either guy. And you say that the difficulty is that, this again, the worry will be if it sets a precedent, essentially. Maybe it's a wider comment on other problems that are within both those societies at the moment and how we treat men in privileged positions.
Neymar himself has got his own tax problems. He's recently fined.
Haven't we all, mate?
Well, I don't know if I've ever been fined £40 million by a Brazilian court for evading tax on sponsors.
That is a lot of money.
That is quite a lot.
Is that just because they're trying to balance this debt that's created by the Olympics?
I know the Brazilian court there might be some suspicions over them, but he's also got his own problems in Spain as well. He's apparently sort of being tried, investigated for avoiding $17 million in tax as well. So it's quite hefty.
So much money. How has he even made that much money?
And obviously,
think of it this way. If that's tax, how much are you getting paid?
Crazy, isn't it? 40 million. That's just, that's what he's been fined. It's just ridiculous.
I mean, obviously it's a higher rate. That's not 17%. So in some countries, a higher, richer sense of taxes, maybe 50% on some people. But still, that means he's making a lot of money.
Javier Mascherano as well received a 12-month prison sentence, suspended for tax avoidance.
You've really got to read that differently, haven't you, Adam?
No, I prefer to read that way. They go into jail. Oh, on probation.
Suspended.
Yeah. Sentence. Yeah.
No one's going to jail.
They're not going away for long.
He's going to prison, in a way.
Yeah, sort of.
He's going to prison, metaphorically.
He's
in a life prison.
I did sort of mention it there, but I do find it, even though, you know, I'm a big fan of Messi, and I've got my own problems with Ronaldo, I do find it quite amusing how the tables have turned. You know, they always say a week is a long time in football. As I said, 3 weeks ago, Messi was the star of the Copa America. Ronaldo getting slated, but then Messi misses a penalty in the final, losing to Chile, announces retirement. All of a sudden, you know, this tax avoidance sentence comes in on the same day when Ronaldo just thinks, you know what, I'm actually going to start playing now. I've decided I fancy it.
Certain things do remain true, though, don't they? I mean, you know, Ronaldo. There are still selfish elements to his game. There are still selfish elements to Messi's game.
Of course. But I mean, you know, you look at, I know tonight Ronaldo had a very impressive performance, but even that second goal, which he's going to go down as assist, it was another wayward shot, which was going wide. He's been having tons of shots.
I checked it and it's not gone down as an assist.
He'll count that as an assist. He'll be like, well, I did assist it. I know that officially it's not.
Do you think it is interesting also how these guys are very much being made an example of? And, you know, I think that the press and certain governments do use it as a deterrent to other people. Because, you know, if you see your heroes being, you know, threatened with prison, all those other sort of things, there's a likelihood you might assess your own situation.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's all I'm saying. Whereas, you know, maybe there are other people out there, hey Apple, hey Topshop, who actually don't pay tax and people are not furious over that at all.
It's a weird one, isn't it? Tax avoidance is a very frustrating crime and obviously very serious, but it feels, I don't want to say inevitable, but it feels like you're fighting against an unrelenting tide. You know, like you say, there's these massive corporations who are avoiding tax, all these rich people, the Panama Papers that came out recently, sort of just scratch the surface of what these people are up to. It feels like, depressingly, it's pretty much human nature. When you're earning hundreds of millions of pounds, you all of a sudden want to keep quite a lot of it. So you do get involved in these immoral schemes. But I'm glad to see Messi got a fine. I think, you know, it would have been pretty, maybe it is because he's a celebrity, but it would have felt pretty extreme for Messi to go away for a year. That would have been quite a story, wouldn't it? Messi's literally going to jail for a year or something like that.
Can't
see that happening myself. And I think you can expect to see Neymar, for example. He'll get off with a slap on the wrist and a big fine. £40 million, though. Jesus Christ.
It's also, I think, the government also realised that those guys probably will make them more money out of prison than they will in.
Oh, yeah. Keep them out of prison. We'll get what we can out of them.
Also, in terms of, you know, if you maybe consider that if Neymar's not on the menu at a game, how are you going to lose Brazilians coming to the country? Or, you know, does it sort of feel in some way diplomatic the way they're dealing?
There's economic reasons for letting them avoid justice, essentially, potentially.
Yes, turning up money is more than just money.
Before we finish up, guys, let's move on to, as always, a little bit of transfer news because there's been some interesting developments today. First off, Dave, Manchester United finally confirming the signing of Henrik Mkhitaryan. 4-year deal, £26 million. Are you excited?
Well, yeah, I think he's a big sign. He's a player that Manchester United need, a right midfielder that is going to play, you know, more on the wing than what we've seen. When Mata comes into that space a bit too much, comes towards the ball. Mkhitaryan's will come to the ball, will pick it up, will turn, get running at people, but it'll add pace into a United attack that really lacked that last season. In terms of a player, what he is, he's probably like a wide creative midfielder, you'd say, that does cross the ball quite a lot, but very, very good at cutting the ball back, very good at beating his man 1v1, and on the break is where he really explodes. You know, you saw the relationship we had with Aubameyang and Marco Reus last season in the Bundesliga. It was absolutely awesome. Just a little stat to round off. Manchester United scored 49 goals in the Premier League last season. Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Mkhitaryan scored 49 goals between them in their own respective leagues. Goals have come. Mourinho's come. Bailly's come. Now I just need Paul Pogba and we'll win the league.
Paul Pogba. That's all it is. That's all it's going to take, is it? And then you're champions.
That is it. Simple, mate. Simple.
Bloody hell. There you have it, guys. Let us know what you think of Mkhitaryan on Twitter at The Front Three. Let us know whether you think he's a good signing and whether Pogba is essentially going to win them the league. Another interesting bit of news. Manchester City have made a £35 million bid for Leonardo Bonucci. One of the best defenders in the world, Dave, wouldn't you say? Highly
overrated,
rated.
You say, Adam?
Overrated, mate. Highly rated. Pep Guardiola himself.
Now everyone's decided to watch a bit of Italy and realise, whoa, this fella's
decent. This fella's decent, isn't he?
He isn't just a really, really good centre back. He isn't just physical. He can't, you know, his reading of the play is really good. He's really good at tackling, but he can bring the ball out the back and hit like 30-yard laser sight pinpoint passes like Paul Scholes used to do. Yeah, Bonucci is definitely one of the best centre backs in world football right now, and is finally getting the accolade. But Juventus look like they don't want to break. Cup BBC. BBC is probably, we mentioned before, the three best centre-backs together as a unit, one of the best centre-back units in world football. Would he go to Manchester City under Pep Guardiola? You know, that could be quite a situation a player would want to come right now. Gundogan, what coming out 2 days ago saying, is in the right place right now in anywhere in the world of football at Manchester City under Guardiola. Bonucci would absolutely explode. But I would love Mourinho to step in, sign Bonucci next to Bailly or Chris Smalling. That would be absolutely perfect.
Manchester City have had a £35 million bid turned down. They're apparently ready to go back with £51 million. Guardiola's called Bonucci one of his favourite ever players. Now, Lawrence, as Dave's saying there, he's sort of selling Bonucci there as one of the best defenders in the world. It feels like Manchester City, this is the one area where they've been lacking for a while now. They've been relying on Vincent Kompany for so many years, but the injury problems have let him down. Obviously, Mangala coming in hasn't been massively impressive. Otamendi has been hot and cold. This feels like the kind of signing which could transform their defence.
I definitely think we'd add to the defence. I'm just interested in, obviously no defender can defend alone, so he's going to need a partner. I'll be interested to see who they pair him with. And I also think it's interesting to look at the idea of how much Pep can improve the players who are already there. Because I think obviously the players who are already there pretty much had a nothing season last year. They had a season where they could almost coast. And I think that must have been quite frustrating as a Man City fan because, you know, incredibly hopeful because you sort of think, well, you know, if these guys are doing this and they're just coasting, imagine what they can do if they actually put some /any effort in. I think that's going to be exciting. Spending £51 million on a defender,
that would make him the most expensive defender of all time. Just yes, £1 million more than David Luiz, of course.
Of course, and he, you know, has gone from strength to strength since coasting to PSG. Yeah. I think it was lovely. It wasn't. I was disappointed that he went to PSG. I know he wanted to be with Thiago and. There were some great offers made to him, and you know who wouldn't want to make money during their career, but you know there are times where you sort of think I'd like to see you at a side where you mean something.
The second most expensive defender of all time, I should say. Any guesses?
At the moment, Rio,
Eliaquim Mangala.
Wow,
cost £42 million.
You are fucking kidding me.
Is that how much he cost? The Guardian is saying £42 million. And I feel the urge to check that because it doesn't feel right.
I feel like that's... I mean, if the Guardian say it, surely that's right. What about... how much was Rio? 35?
Yeah, he was £42 million, alike with Mangala. What the hell? Jesus Christ.
Makes sense, Adam. I mean, you know...
The next one was Rio. Rio's 30-odd million. Then you're sort of looking down at Lillian Thuram, who was 30-odd million. Thiago Silva as well. Yeah, man, Carlos, 42 million. My God.
How much was Thiago Silva?
He was 31, I believe, 32, something like that.
That sounds like such a steal now.
Yeah, nowadays, yeah. Just 4 years after he joined PSG, that does sound like...
Speaking of which, the team he came from, AC Milan, have been sold to a Chinese consortium. So, so much for xenophobia.
That's where all their money's going to come from, isn't it? That's where they're trying to do this big rebuilding job. There's talk of bringing in Lukaku, bringing in Higuain. They're going to spend big, bring the players in. Got themselves a new manager, Lawrence.
That's where the problem in your team is.
It's definitely up front. That is the main
problem for you. It's definitely goals, yeah. Get Dida back.
Yeah, why not? Everyone loves Dida. Everyone loves Dida.
I love Dida. Every now and again, you see a picture of him and he still looks almost exactly like Dida looked, you know, 10 years ago.
In his prime. Other bit of transfer news. What about Alexandre Lacazette, guys, to Arsenal? This one in the Telegraph. And they're finally perhaps going to add that striker. They missed out all those years ago on Luis Suarez. They missed out on Karim Benzema. Higuain maybe too expensive now. What do you make of this one, Dave? Because it feels like, you know, they have missed out on those prime targets over the years. Some suggestion Wenger's not 100% sold on Lacazette. Maybe they're almost selling that. They need to bring someone in.
I think they definitely do. I think they need to do something. Wenger needs to move now. He's taking too long. You know, he's seen the good thing Mourinho's done. He's done all of his business. Wenger's still dilly-dallying on, you know, he signed the lad from Japan. But is that what is going to change, you know, convert Arsenal into this side we all believe they could be? I don't think so. I think Wenger needs to potentially go with a 4-4-2. We've seen Olivier Giroud excel with a player near him. And I think that's what Arsenal need to do. They need to go back to that style. They need to be a bit more abrasive. They need to be like the side that Wenger won the league with, where they were more physical, they were more compact, they defended well, but they broke with such pace. Thierry Henry, Bergkamp, Lundberg, that's what they need to go back to, that level of side, and they need to work together and be a team and a unit. Then they definitely need to sign another centre-back, 100,000%.
I do feel like it's a little bit unfair to say that Wenger's dilly-dallying, because he has already bought Xhaka. And
he does have that reputation. Well, I forgot about Xhaka. To be fair,
Xhaka's a very good signing, but again,
I mean, also not only that, but I understand Mourinho is also a new manager. He's got he has a lot more to do to that squad. I mean, you know, it's widely acknowledged that United squad is not well constructed, whereas actually people do seem to believe that there is a bit more of a thought and construction to that. Mourinho wants to shape this team, whereas Wenger maybe wants to tweak his side. And also, Mourinho maybe has a different approach, whereas Wenger, just because you don't buy early doesn't mean you're not buying. Do you know what I mean? And not only that, but maybe his targets are still away on international duty, or possibly not back from the break yet. So, you know, I don't know if he's dilly-dallying. Arsenal could come out with some more surprises.
Final one for you, Lawrence. Moussa Sissoko. His representatives have apparently been contacted by Liverpool.
Of course they have.
Some Liverpool fans saying, not a bad move. Some Newcastle fans laughing like a drain that Liverpool would even be interested. What are your thoughts on this one?
It's definitely, you know what the difference is here? Is it's changing what I think Liverpool would have looked at as signings and who they would have wanted to sign. There was a big difference between maybe what older Liverpool fans wanted to sign and what they thought represented their club, and maybe what Klopp has brought in. I imagine a lot of people probably wouldn't have put Mane down as one of the first signings. I imagine they probably would have put Karius there, because that's maybe what they expected. Not play-wise, but maybe just as, what they've been used to over the last few years. I think a lot of people thought, they remember when Benitez first came in, who were the early signings of Luis Garcia, Xabi Alonso, in the end, Fernando Torres, but that was rumoured for a very long time. And, you know, it was basically the Spanish contingent. I think Klopp seems to be varying maybe what Liverpool fans are expecting. And so, you know, if he feels that that's a Liverpool target and that's going to improve, because definitely Liverpool need to improve that midfield somehow, I'll be interested to see how he does it. Because he clearly has other ideas for a lot of these guys, and he's changed even just tweaking the rough positions of some of these guys. So maybe Klopp's looking at that. You know, I mean, he bought Lewandowski for a ridiculously small amount. Is he going for another astute, shrewd signing?
Ooh, he did indeed. Before we finish up, guys, tonight's podcast, there's a little bit of, constructive criticism that came into the show. Yeah. Ardy M tweeted in saying, just listen to your pod. Would be more credible, Adam, if you questioned the ridiculous claims and bizarre analysis by the other two. Thumbs down, he said. So we came back on Twitter. We said, what ridiculous claims are these? He said, how about the target men reach their prime in their mid-30s? That was
a belter. You're absolutely joking. Do you want me to write you a detailed analysis of target men peaking in their mid-30s?
Well, Dave, at least just help Ardy understand why he's such a...
He made a mistake.
He's made such a mistake, Dave.
Dean Atali, Luca Toni, Ibrahimovic, Miroslav Klose. There's so many. That's not even me thinking about it. Didier Drogba hit his peak later on in his career.
Go on, Peter Crouch.
What did he have?
I mean, Dave, I think you're... I mean, I think, you know...
I'm wrong, though, Lawrence. I'm stupid.
No, I think you're... I think... Well, Dave, you know, don't state the fucking obvious. But I think at the same time, what Dave was saying was right. It's also that doesn't mean... I think maybe the way that he would have heard that was that... I don't know. Therefore, they weren't good before that. People seem to think, you know, that players just have to be in their peak or nothing else. I don't necessarily know if I agree with that.
I just wanted to give Dave a chance to respond to this criticism. To just
yeah, because a thumbs down is a really negative piece of feedback.
Yeah, I cried myself to sleep when I saw that.
I woke up to that, and I'll be honest. It's hard to wake up to negativity. Like it's just nice to wake. It's the same as waking up to like a good morning text.
People are allowed to do that. I don't just want nice platitudes. If someone's got a problem, send it in. Let us know, and we'll.
Well, it's also when someone's got four followers.
Yeah, go Melito.
To be fair, he said that I didn't question the ridiculous claims. You know, for example, Zlatan's 20 goals. I'm dyeing my hair blonde if Zlatan scores more than 20 goals, guys. That was my challenge. Yeah,
but I think what he would rather say is, Adam, you know, if you get it right in the first place, you wouldn't need to dye your hair blonde. Right, but then I guess you're putting your career on the line, aren't you? Because no one's going to be blonde.
My relationship.
Putting your relationship on the line, that's for sure.
I'm out if that happens. Anyway, guys, let us know your constructive criticism, your praise, all that good stuff on Twitter at The Front Three. Please do leave us your iTunes review as well. There should be a little link in the description. You click that, takes you straight to iTunes. Give us a rating out of 5 stars. Let us know why or why not you're enjoying the podcast. For now, though, we're going to be back tomorrow night, obviously, after France versus Germany. For now, Lawrence, a pleasure as always.
Pleasure. Always mine, yours, everyone's, the whole.
Dave, pleasure.
Multiple pleasures.
Oh, he's getting into dangerous territory
Dave
right now.
Promises
dangerous
big
territory. He's a popular man with the ladies, old Dave, as you can tell from
so
that.
I've heard. So I've heard.
Guys,
a popular man with some of the girls, but you know.
Thank you so much for listening. On that note, I think that there's no better place to end it. We'll see you tomorrow on The Front Three.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.